Good morning and welcome. What a lovely day it is outside. Although we are 1 hour short of our sleep, we've all got 1 hour more to enjoy the nice sunshine, haven't we? Please do stay for coffee after the service. While we're here, I'd like to draw your attention, if you haven't spotted it already, the beautiful banner that has been hung up. That's the result of all our poppy knitting over the summer months. It's very heavy, but it's magnificent, isn't it? Really looks good. I think Windsor... Yes, for all those of you. I think we've given Windsor Castle and that moat to run for their money with ours here. Next week, we're having a Sunday lunch after the service. It's a jacket potato with some fillings, followed by apple pie and ice cream. There's a notice on the notice board outside at eye level with a pen hanging down for you to sign up if you're able to come, to give us an idea of how many potatoes we need to go to Lincolnshire and dig out of a muddy field for the day. So please do sign up to give us an idea of what the catering arrangements will be. And that will be after the service next Sunday. It's to raise money for Gaza, and it's also part of our project to keep the church together in this transitionary 12 months when we haven't got a minister, but we're still very much a strong family church. And by eating together and worshipping together, we hope to keep that going. And this is part of our mission to, once a month, we're going to do something extra that we hope will keep us all working together, having fun together, laughing together, and tidying up afterwards together as a family. So please do support it, but sign up first to give us an idea. Next to the food notice is a Please Can You Help notice, because sadly, table fairies, chair fairies seem to be in very short supply at the moment. So besides doing it, we could do with some help, please, essential, to just put out the furniture and help us take it down at the end. There's also a signing list for Could You Help With This? Lots of little people doing little jobs, it won't be anything onerous. I did sign up to do two things and then realised I've got to take the minister home again next Sunday afternoon. So I put my name down and then I had to cross it out. So it's not because I'm shirking my duties, but I'm on transport duties after the lunch. So please do sign up if you can help. And now finally, we welcome Sheila to lead our worship today. It's a Holy Communion service and we're delighted to have you here. Thank you so much indeed.
Good morning. As I come to lead your worship this morning, I commend to you my friend and yours, Ruth Gunning, who is a member at Macclesfield Church. Ruth has been called by God to train as a local preacher. I think it's a very brave decision to take. It involves study and reflection, and during this quarter, it involves sharing the leading of worship with another preacher. I know that you will want to encourage her with your presence here this morning and with your prayers. Ruth has been a worship leader at Macclesfield, and this is another step, an important step in the mission of the church. So we give thanks to God for her as she leads the service today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of our Lord. Father, quieten us in your presence, that we may know your Holy Spirit guiding us, and that we may think deeply about what you are teaching us, and that we may praise you with a sense of wonder at the love which you have shared with us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
We're going to sing our first hymn, which is 340, You Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim.
Oh,
Let us pray. Our prayer of approach. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, nothing is impossible for you. Help us to trust in the promises that you have made to us. Give us patience to keep faithful when your time is not our time, knowing that you will act in us and through us when the time is right. Amen. Lord God, you are a mystery. Your greatness is beyond what we can fathom. Your power beyond our understanding. Help us to walk in your way, to trust and obey. Where you are leading us, even when it is uncomfortable, give us the courage to keep going, the understanding to let some things go, the humility to accept that we don't know all the answers, but that you do. For you, Lord, exist outside time and space. You are the beginning and the end. In you we place our hope. In you we trust. Amen. Our prayer of confession. We have not always lived in ways that reflects God's love for all. There are times when prejudice and ignorance have caused us to judge others as less important, less capable, and less whole than ourselves. Gracious God, release us and grant us mercy. We have not always lived as people assured of our place in God's heart. There are times when despair has been our refuge and we have turned from God's promises. Gracious God, release us and grant us hope. We have not always lived as disciples of Christ. There are times when the paths to wealth and power have been more attractive than the longer roads of justice, peace, and tolerance. Gracious God, release us and grant us courage. We have not always lived as people of the resurrection. There are times when we've only seen the world as a place of threat and brokenness, forgetting God's creative genius. Gracious God, release us and grant us wisdom. In quietness, we remember those thoughts, actions, and words that have marred our image in us, hurt others, and damaged the world. A few moments of quietness while we reflect on those things known only to us. God has heard the confession of our hearts and minds. We thank you that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive them. In Christ we are set free. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our prayer of thanksgiving, our loving and heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of being together and for the privilege of being involved in the work of your church. Heavenly Father, you have given us everything we have and all that we need. We thank you for your word in the Bible, and we worship and adore the Christ whom we see in its pages. We thank you for your faithfulness and your long-suffering patience with us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And most of all, dear Father, we thank you for your greatest gift, your Son, who is our Saviour, guide and friend forever, and to him be all the glory. Thank you for knowing the secrets of our hearts, the hopes, the fears, the joys, the doubts, and for embracing them and us with compassion, courage, and the power of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
We're ready now for our next hymn, which is hymn number 455, All My Hope on God Is Founded. If you're able to, we stand to sing.
Mm-hmm.
We turn now to scripture, first of all from the book of Job. Job is a very long book, one of the earliest to be written in our Bible. But to pick out a few verses from Job doesn't always mean that we can understand where he's at. So a little introduction. In it, Job tries to understand why such ill fortune has overwhelmed his life. Have you ever had that feeling? He's lost flocks and health. His friends, who are sometimes called Job's comforters because they're not very compassionate. Where is God in all of this? Job asks. After all, he argues, I'm a righteous man. Why has this come upon me? Is God punishing me? If indeed it is God who sent all this misfortune. In the book and in his conversations with God, Job learns that suffering comes to the best of people. And as the story goes on, he finds that God has not been persecuting him, and his depression lifts somewhat. His problems have not been solved, but he sees them in a different perspective. That life is sometimes hard, and we have to live through uncertainty and darkness. Job's faith has been a fitful struggle with regret and anger, but he's rewarded with the insights which he shares with us and which we need today as life throws at us all kinds of things, some of them not good. At the end of the book, which we're going to hear, he is able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives and I myself will see him. And through the book of Job, like the widow in Jesus' parable, he batters heaven's door with prayers to get answers. And God speaks and gives him the answers, which enables Job to carry on. When we too need answers, let's not be afraid to ask. Thank you.
A reading from Job, chapter 42, verses 1 to 6. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.
The second reading is from Mark chapter 10. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, Call him. So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and follow Jesus along the road. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for those lovely readings. Our next hymn is hymn number 1818, Be Still and Know That I Am God. If you're able to, we stand to sing. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. My text is taken from Mark chapter 10 and verse 51, taken from the NIV. Rabbi, I want to see. Bartimaeus had faith. I will explore the story and think about the faith personified in Bartimaeus. Our language has many sayings about blindness. The blind leading the blind. Love is blind as a bat. There's none so blind as those who cannot see. A blind alley, a blind date. Turn a blind eye. Don't take a blind bit of notice. Excuse me. Blind spot, blind drunk. A nod is as good as a wink to a blind man. You may be able to think of more. Their meanings are all different. Some suggest indifference, turning a blind eye, you don't care. Others defiance, I'm not taking a blind bit of notice. And others great understanding and acceptance. Love is blind. The account we heard in today's gospel was about blind faith and understanding. I'd like to share with you a short story that I read recently. It is supposedly a true account. A woman was crossing the road at a pedestrian crossing with lights alongside a friend when a buzzing noise started as the green man appeared. "What's that noise?" asked the friend. "Oh, that tells the blind when it's safe to go," came the reply. Quick as a flash, the friend exclaimed, "Are we safe if the blind are driving?" Driving on the road, sometimes we see, but we don't understand. Let's take ourselves back to the story in the gospel. This is all occurring after Peter, James, and John had seen Elijah and Moses at Jesus' transfiguration. The disciples didn't go up the mountain and had this, sorry, the disciples who didn't go up the mountain had felt rebuked. Jesus had then spent time teaching them about servant leadership and explaining how difficult it is to come fully to God when you are burdened with the trappings of this world. However, even though Jesus had been teaching his disciples, they are not understanding fully what he is saying and are still looking for positions of authority in God's kingdom. Then they come to Jericho, which was and is a very fertile town. But the road back to Jerusalem was dry, dusty, and hilly. Jesus is leaving the town with his disciples, and there is a large crowd around him. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, is sitting at the roadside begging, which is all he could do. As a blind man, he is amongst the lowest of the low. He has no status in society. He is totally dependent on the generosity of passers-by. Everyone else is standing and clamoring around Jesus, but Bartimaeus is sitting on his cloak and begging at the edge of all that is going on. The cloak is a treasured possession, as it would serve as his blanket, and any alms given would be placed on it, as people would be unlikely to make physical contact with such an outcast. Through listening to the crowd, Bartimaeus hears that it is Jesus who is passing by, and he calls out to him, not just by name, but with the added title, Son of David. Many people know Jesus' name, but not so many recognize him for who he is. Even the disciples have not fully grasped Jesus' position and role. In Matthew 10 and verse 37, they were asking for positions of authority for themselves, as they did not understand what Jesus had been explaining to them. The crowd around tell Bartimaeus to be quiet. Is this because they think he deserves to be begging, or that they are more important than he is? Whichever it is, they are determined that their claim on Jesus is stronger. But Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus is so strong that he shouts all the more loudly. Jesus, on hearing Bartimaeus calling him the Son of David and asking for his mercy, stops and asks the crowd to bring Bartimaeus over to him. Perhaps the crowd would have expected Jesus to go to Bartimaeus, but having heard him, but instead they are asked to help the man they have been trying to silence. Bartimaeus' instant reaction is to jump to his feet and throw his precious cloak aside. He clearly expects to be restored to society and be able to participate fully and not beg again. A blind person would have few possessions, and in a crowd, he would worry about not being able to retrieve them. But Bartimaeus has a faith that is strong and an understanding of who Jesus is that belies his status as a beggar. When Jesus asks Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" His reply is a simple request, voiced with the confidence that Jesus can and will deliver. "Rabbi, I want to see." This declares resolutely that Jesus can bring the wholeness and deliverance that people seek. In this confident and simple statement, what Bartimaeus says is fully consistent with the expressions of faith others have made in Mark's gospel. Also, when we consider that Jesus' question repeats what he asked James and John in Mark 35 to 45, we see that Bartimaeus has no special privileges. He is not looking for power or authority, simply to see clearly. This reiterates that Jesus has not come to bestow power and honor, but to open everyone's eyes to the new spiritual, social, and material realities that are made possible when God reigns. When it comes to understanding what Jesus has come to do, the disciples, James and John, are more blind than Bartimaeus. Verse 6, Psalm 34, fits beautifully here. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. As does the verse from our Old Testament reading, Job 42 and verse 5. My ears had heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. It's no good just hearing the words of Jesus. We need to see what they mean and act on them. Bartimaeus is healed. His sight is restored. He is no longer a beggar, but an accepted member of society. It is his blind faith that has led him to this change. He no longer has to sit at the side of the road and beg. He is able to travel the road with Jesus. As Jesus' followers, we are all called to have a faith that doesn't leave us on the edge, sitting beside the road, but to embrace fully Jesus' message and travel with him, understanding his teachings and putting them into practice. Max Lucado, in his book, 6 Hours, One Friday, tells the story of how he and his boat survived a hurricane. An old seaman gave Max the advice to take his boat to deep water, drop 4 anchors off each corner of the boat, and pray that the anchors held. Max survived that storm, but he says that he learned an important lesson. All of us need an anchor that will hold during the storms of life. That anchor is our faith. What have you put your faith in? How important is it to have faith? Where do we find faith strong enough to make it through the storms of life? In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter knows how important faith is, and he gives us a great picture of faith, a faith that can anchor deep with, and a faith which it will hold us during the storms of life. Peter continues that faith is timeless. He does say a lot more, but there isn't time to discuss all of it today. So we'll settle for just 3 aspects. Faith is imperishable. How can that be? Well, look where faith in Christ is kept, in heaven. Jesus says that we are to put treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy or the thief steal. Excuse me. If our faith is set upon the things of this world, then our faith will perish. Countless kingdoms have come and fallen. Economies have been built and destroyed. Nations have been established and vanished. All that is left of some of those kingdoms are the ruins you might see in a museum. Only the kingdom of God has remained constant in the past 2,000 years. Our faith is to be set in heaven and not on the things of this world. That is the only way that we know our faith is imperishable. Our faith will be uncorrupted. You have no doubt heard the phrase, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It is a statement which indicates our sinful nature. History is full of leaders who started off with the best intentions, but pride, ego, and other flaws got in the way. If we place our faith in a leader, it is but a matter of time before, maybe, perhaps, the corruptible nature of the individual is revealed. But Christ has no sin, and our faith is in the power of God. God has absolute power. It is uncorrupted. There is no pride or ego in the power of Christ. In the scope of eternity, Jesus is the only person who has absolute power. But not only that, he is the only person for whom absolute power has not corrupted, even a little bit. Our faith can only be uncorruptible when it is placed in Christ. Our faith in Christ is unfading. It's not subject to the fads of society. I know a lot of people that follow trends. They jump on the latest trend or idea. About 6 months or a year down the road, they jump on something new. Do you need a great example? Well, bring out your old photographs and slides and have a look at the hairstyles and the clothes and the tone of the culture, how things have changed in the last 20 or 30 years. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the faith we have now will see us to the last days. Amen, and thanks be to God. Our next hymn is number 531. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If you're able, we stand to sing. Thank you.
Just a few moments of bringing our prayers for other people, using the story we've heard, but peopling the prayers with people we know and situations that we have seen in the media during this week. Let us pray. Holy God, we have heard how your Son Jesus went about bringing healing and hope to those who were in need. And we want to talk to you about those who are on our hearts, who are crying out for healing at this time. Some of them are known to us, and we can name them in our minds. Others we hear of in faraway places, whose need for healing comes from the brutality of war. Those who've become sick in mind and body because of the relentless bombardment all about them. We pray for those who heal the sick in community clinics, hospices, and hospitals, and those who bravely live in war-torn places and face danger in order to bring relief and comfort. In the name of Jesus, the healer, make the sick whole and give to those who are caring strength, compassion, and wisdom. We want to talk to you, Father God, about those who endure disability and the frustration it brings. For those who find it extra hard to cope with the demands of the day-to-day living, who sometimes feel alone and often misunderstood. We acknowledge that sometimes we fail to notice those who have special needs. We pray for those who long for the healing of their fears about the future. In the name of Jesus the healer, make them whole and give us hearts open to be empathetic. As we think about blind Bartimaeus, we want to talk about those who are sad because they've experienced bereavement and feel lost and heartbroken. And for those who are watching a loved one lose the ability to know who they are and are therefore confused and agitated. We pray for those who care for them. Give to them infinite patience and inexhaustible love as they care for their day-to-day needs. In the name of Jesus the healer, assure them that their loved ones are not beyond your love and care, and are held in the palm of your hands, even yet. Finally, Father, we think of a world which seems so broken just now, in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in Yemen. And we pray that the bloodshed may soon cease and ways may be found to stop the destruction of communities. We pray that the Prince of Peace, your Son, will give to those who are working for peace in his name, patience and understanding and a vision of what you intend for a world where people live together in harmony. Finally, we pray for the people of America that they may make wise and selfless decisions when they vote for a new president. Father, accept these prayers and the others that we have spoken in our hearts through the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A hymn which combines both the healing that we've asked for and also mentions how bread and wine taken can be a healing influence in itself. The hymn is 652, Lord, we come to ask your healing.
Thank you.
please feel free to sit for the prayers that we're going to have. And we're going to use some singing in the service. I believe you've sung before. I love singing, and I hope that the singing that we're going to use will be on the screen and will be helpful to you. But first of all, as our communion service begins, let us pray. Holy God, you go on loving us even when we turn away from you. You sent your Son Jesus, who healed those who were sick, wept with those who were sad, and forgave sinners. To show the world your love, he died for all upon the cross, and you raised him up in glory. On the night before Jesus died, he had supper with his disciples. He took bread, thanked you, as we are thanking you today. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we sing.
Jesus the Lord says, "I am the bread of life for the world am I."
After supper, he took a cup of wine, thanked you, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. It will be shed for you and for the world, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me."
Jesus the Lord says, "I am the vine, the true and fruitful vine am I."
And so, God of love, we remember that Jesus died and rose again to make all things new. Through his offering for us all, we offer our whole life to you in thanks and praise. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's saving body and blood. May the same Spirit unite us with all your people on earth and in heaven. Bring us at last to your glory with all your saints, that we may praise you forever through Jesus your Son in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so we sing.
All glory to the Father be, the Spirit and the Son. All glory to the one in three, while endless ages run. Alleluia. Amen.
As our Saviour taught his disciples, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The bread that we have broken is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The table is prepared. God's nourishing of us is here being offered. So come in faith to receive these blessings that through Jesus Christ we have to build up our faith.
Thank you.
And so we say together, God of glory, we have seen with our eyes and touched with our hands the bread of heaven. Strengthen us in our life together, that we may grow in love for you and for each other. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Six hymns this morning. My apologies, but we have finished in good time. I do love this last hymn. For the sacramental breaking, for the honour of partaking, for your life, our lives remaking, young and old, we praise your name. God, whose love is all around us. Let's sing together. So may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest in you and amongst you this day and in the week ahead as you go to serve the Lord. Amen. We share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.